I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And Ron Darling is standing by on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ron, how are you? Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you.
Hey, Ron.
Good time, guys. Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to start off this. You played quarterback in college a little bit, definitely in high school. The Browns are looking for a quarterback. Any chance? You got any bullets left in you?
I don't know. No. At 65 years old, I would say no, but you never know.
Hey, and, we got Joe Flacco. You know, he's over 40. We're in good shape with you, man. You're good to go.
I will tell you that every time I'm in Cleveland and doing baseball games, one of the things I love is the interaction between fans and the Browns. It's always a discussion with the some point, and they love their team.
So you can feel like a Clevelander tonight then when you're calling the game. If you want to, we'll give you a little Cleveland love on that. How's that sound?
Okay, it sounds good. Thanks.
Ron, as you were getting ready to do tonight's game, Guardians in New York against the Yankees, you can see it on TBS. Ron will be doing the color. What struck you about the Guardians? Good, bad, indifferent?
Well, I think the first thing that struck me, you know, because we live in this kind of analytical information age in baseball, is that they have a negative run differential. You just don't see that with very good teams. Now, a lot of that can be happenstance. It can be a small sample size. You know, we're only a third of the way through the season or so. And other teams have made the postseason with a negative run differential. But that surprised me because they're the kind of team that that usually is, you know, they're not at the plus 100 kind of team, but they're always usually a plus because of the quality of play by the Guardians year in and year out.
Ron, what have you thought about Stephen Vogt? I mean, obviously his freshman year with the Guardians went, I can't think of a better way to go than he did last year. And this year he's got a little bit more work to do. And we all think he's doing a really good job here. I'm just curious what that national perspective is on him.
Well, yes, he's done an amazing job. I mean, to take your team to the postseason and game five, is as good as it almost gets, right? Other than going to the World Series. I think, like any young manager, I think that he'll make some mistakes, but older manager makes mistakes as well. I like Voter. I think he is one of those guys that recently off the field has a real feel for today's player, and he's such a conversationalist, you know, that I think that's needed more than ever. When I played, if you went all season without talking to your manager, that was like a successful year. It's 180 degrees different that, you know, the back and forth relationship with players. I don't think anyone in baseball does it better than Voter.
That's a great line, Ron. I like that one a lot. The Guardians year after year seem to be able to put competitive teams on the field, even though limited financially compared to some of the other teams. In your career, other than three games with the Expos, you were with the Mets, big market team, and then you spent a lot of years in Oakland, a team that did it by, you know, trying to outsmart everybody without outspending everybody. How difficult is it to do what Oakland did successfully for a while, what the Guardians have done successfully for a while?
Well, the only way you can do that, and it doesn't matter, because there's a lot of teams that don't spend or spend the same kind of money, let's say, as the Guardians, and they're not successful. And the reason that is because, you know, Antonetti and Chernoff have built a culture there, a culture of winning. I add Terry Francona to that, of course, now that he's in Cincinnati. But before that, you know, that kind of triangle of guys established that they just don't accept losing. They're the kind of team that tonight we're going to figure out a way to win, and then tomorrow night we'll do something else. I think that goes a long way, and a lot of teams would love to have that. Now, that's very hard to build. People think it's easy. You know, teams that spend a lot of money sometimes don't have that culture, but they're able to replenish with some good players that maybe in a temporary sense will make that team successful. But one of the things I've always admired about the Guardians is that they have such a winning culture. The second you walk into their locker room, whether it's the clubhouse attendant, whether it's the kids shining the shoes or doing the laundry, it's a winning culture. It's good people. You feel that vibe straight away.
Ron Darling, MLB on TBS, joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I think one of those things, and sometimes, especially during his 21-game hitting streak that he just came off over the weekend, Jose Ramirez sometimes, I think, gets lost in the national shuffle. We all know how much he's appreciated here, especially because he didn't take the big money and run like so many players did when they came through Northeast Ohio. They always have good things to say about Cleveland, but none of those, all those guys always said, well, you know, why would you walk away from the money? I don't think there's a lot of fans that are still upset the way we were maybe when Manny Ramirez was here, but Jose decided to stay. And, you know, like, what does that mean, I think, when you're looking at him from the outside and what he's been able to do? And, I mean, I just remember watching him play against the Yankees last week, and I was going, man, this guy could play on any team in Major League Baseball and be a star anywhere.
Yeah, well, it's one of the reasons he's beloved by your fan base as well, right? Mm-hmm. Not only is one of the greatest players that ever put on a Cleveland uniform, he's also humble. And he's hardworking. He represents your town as well as any superstar could ever ever represent it. I remember Terry Francona told me the story. It was, I think, two or three seasons ago when you guys weren't expected maybe to make the postseason, and you did. And Terry had a conversation with Jose in spring training and said, listen, we have a lot of young players. I think it was Stephen Kwan's rookie year, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. And he said, we have a lot of young players, and they're only going to go as you go. So I'm asking you something that's hard to ask an established great player, but I need you to hustle 10 times more than you have before, and you're one of the best hustlers in the game. Those kind of things are for people that follow the game, people that love the game, like you guys and myself. That's what makes you love the way Ramirez plays the game. You know, last year his post wasn't what he wanted it to be. But, you know, I feel as though when he has one of those postseasons that everyone's going to read about at some point, he can take the Guardians and beat any team in baseball. That's how good he is. There's very few players who can carry an entire team on their shoulders for an extended period of time. He's one of those.
Ron Darling joining us. You'll hear him doing color commentary tonight as the Guardians take on the Yankees in New York, MLB on TBS. Ron, during your career, I believe it was 7 times you pitched 200 or more innings in a season. It was much more common when you were pitching, and it wasn't that long ago, compared to today, where only 4 guys threw 200 innings last year. What do you think of the way that pitchers are handled today in Major League Baseball? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it a necessity? What is it?
It's a mistake, if I had to use the word. I understand what organizations are trying to do. They're trying to protect their pitchers and to keep them from injury, but that is not happening. So it doesn't matter really what they do before they become a pro, you know, 18, 19, 21, 22, whatever. they've gone through some things that their arm might not ever recuperate from. So the reason I say it's a mistake is that most pitchers between 24 and 30 years old, 32 maybe, that's your best time to use these guys and to get the best out of them. And what has happened, and I understand this now, what has happened is organizations saying, we're going to limit what they do to try to save them, but they're not saving them. So why wouldn't you do the opposite and just try to get the most out of them as you can? Now, the agent's going to become involved in that because he's not going to want his guy to throw that many innings, and maybe even the player himself. But I think someday we're going to have a Paul Skenes kind of player that just has such a big reputation, is so important for the organization. He's going to say to the team that drafts him, listen, I'll get drafted by you, but I will throw 125 pitches, on the day I pitch. And if you don't like it, don't draft me, because that's what I'm going to do. Someone's going to do that someday. And I also think a smaller organization that's trying to win on the margins, if they get real lucky, and I'm almost thinking about Pittsburgh when I think of this, if they get real lucky and end up with four or five amazing pitchers all at the same time, it might behoove them while they're in the minor league to say, hey, listen, we'll be a better team if these guys are out there longer. You know, we have a game now where the pitchers, starting pitchers, don't pitch in the fourth quarter. They don't pitch in the last third of the game. So the most important outs are recorded by someone else. And no one does that better than Cleveland and their bullpen, right? But wouldn't it be great if you could limit, instead of three innings every night, they only had to throw one in the third or one in two thirds. Someday that might happen with some organization or some individual pitcher.
Ron, is training bad now? Is it worse? Are the philosophies that go into that? I mean, did you guys do things much differently? Because, I mean, you were able to pitch a lot more innings in an era where technology and analytics and everything else, you would think the information wasn't there, yet you guys in your era stayed healthier.
These guys are stronger, bigger, stronger than we ever were. But I will say this, is that they have gotten to a point where they're training all year long. I think that's wrong. Routinely, I think in 86, at the end of the season, including the postseason, I probably threw around 275 innings, 280 or so. And I did not touch a ball till January 1st. I played catch, simple catch, for 1 month. In February, I threw off a mound, not even pitching, just played catch on the incline of a mound, and then didn't really pitch until we started having pitching against our own players. Rest is just so important, and I think today's athlete doesn't think in that way. And then the other, I guess, thing I always say is that pitchers of my generation, and it doesn't mean it's better. It certainly doesn't. These guys leapfrog us as far as their stuff. But pitchers of my generation, we chased outs. Guys today chase velocity. Yeah. There's a big difference.
We got like a minute left here. I just wanted to ask you about Francisco Lindor, and I can't believe he's been there for 5 years already, and just how he's grown since he left Cleveland to go over to the Mets, because I know you spent a lot of time with the Mets.
He's come full circle. I think when he first came over from Cleveland, I think most players don't believe the hype. They always think everyone says when you come to New York, it's going to be a big deal. It's not going to be a big deal. And I think he felt that a little bit. He thought he was going to be able to figure it out because he's such a smart athlete. New York is just a different town. You have to kind of grow into it if you haven't spent a lot of time there. And boy, he has grown into it. He's become the leader that I think he's always wanted to be. The way he plays the game each and every day would be commendable and attractive to anyone who watches the game. And I think right now, even though he gave you guys some really amazing moments and some years, I think right now he's playing the best baseball he's ever played in his life. And I think that's the reason the Mets are so good.
Ron, thank you so much. Always love listening to you when you're doing the Mets games
or
on playoffs. And we'll be watching tonight, especially on TBS, when the Yankees and the Guardians go head-to-head. Thank you, Ron. We do appreciate your time.
Guys, let's do this again when the when Cleveland's in the post, okay?
You got it. And I'll get you a Browns jersey next time you come to town.
Okay, thank you very much.
We'll talk to you
soon. Thanks, Ron.
Ron Darling.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Much to the delight of the gentleman who joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he has Dugout Discussions. He's with John Boy Media. He's Mr. Chris Rose, NFL Network. Hello, Chris. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Chris.
Hi, guys. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun watching him. Obviously, Tennessee's ridiculous. But yeah. In the do or die game against Wake Forest, it was amazing because one of the kids that I coached when he was 6 or 7, he played with my youngest son in the same little league out here. And he ended up pitching against my alma mater. So I texted his parents. I was like, I cannot believe that Duncan is pitching against my school. It was crazy. It was really fun to watch.
Nice.
Who were you rooting for?
I was rooting for the kid.
You got to. Okay, I was glad you said that. All right.
Yeah, man. Come on. Yeah. I coached him. And
he overcame and still went to Tennessee.
No, he went to Wake.
Or to Wake, excuse me.
Yes.
Good for him.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he struggled a little bit against Tennessee as well, but he's a freshman. He throws 97. He's all right.
And you might need him for Dugout Discussion someday.
I told him. See? I told his parents, make sure that when it's time that he doesn't big league me.
That's See? Awesome. Hey, last segment, we were giving Rob Manfred credit. And we were giving him credit for this. He did some rule change ideas implemented by Major League Baseball that I think at the time a lot of us thought, man, how's that going to work? That might blah, 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 might not be a good idea. 3-batter minimum, bigger bases. I think people were wondering about how would that work? Restricting the shift, pitch clock, of course. And, you know, we're still not crazy about starting a guy on second base. And then, you know, umpire reviews, that they've all kind of worked, haven't they? In some way, shape, or form, you might not agree with all of them. We don't like the guy on second base. But I got to give him credit. I haven't seen major changes to the game that I love. And I give him credit for that. And in fact, any change might be even for the better because maybe it has expedited things a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with it. I think that I thought the limiting the shift was great. I really like that. I do like the pitch clock an awful lot. I am going to reserve judgment for maybe a decade until we see if and how much of an effect it has on the health of pitchers moving forward. I mean, I would think with zero knowledge that you know, if you're asking guys to be able to throw that quickly, that it might have some impact on the body. I don't know. That's the only thing that worries me. But it has changed the tempo of the sport. It has made it much more enjoyable of when you're at a game, when you're just watching it on TV. It's quick. The pace is better. And I do like a lot of the rules that have been implemented. I'll be curious to see where the ABS system goes in. The reason we're not going to see it next year is because it's the players who said after the experiment with 2025, we're not yet comfortable having it in 2026. They experimented with it in spring training, obviously.
Because they trust the umpire more, or because they just don't think the computer will get it right?
Yeah, I think they're a little bit worried on how the whole system will work. I haven't talked to enough guys about of guys who didn't like it. I haven't run into those guys. I mean, I haven't made it a point yet. I do have to start talking to them as to why or why not they would be in favor of it. So I'll be able to answer that at another point.
Chris, would you be opposed to putting the ghost runner out there in like the 11th or 12th inning? That's what we think. Like, just play two more innings the way you're supposed to play the game, and then maybe add a ghost runner.
Yeah, I understand that too. I mean, at the end of the day, it is the wear and tear I think they are trying to eliminate to some degree. I mean, you know, the bullpens just get run down, guys. They just do. I mean, and we're in June, and guys are dropping left and right, and it's really, really bad. And so do we really want to, you know, there were a bunch of games that ended last night in the 10th inning because of the extra runner. So I'm not against that. I'm just not.
I've always wondered about roster expansion a little bit more than 26 men. Obviously, they added one more, but if you can do that, Chris, and limit the bullpen, you probably don't need that moving forward.
Yeah, you know what that means? That means that each owner is going to pay an additional $1.5 million minimum. And that's not going to happen. So let's just move on. We'll move on to the next topic.
Yes.
We know that ain't happening.
With that in mind, Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post, national baseball writer, was with us. And we touched on revenue sharing and the haves and the have-nots and a bunch of teams that are really having rough seasons this year. And I said, you know, we're in Cleveland. We were used to rough seasons back in the day. But our team has been able to overcome a lot of that despite financial situations. But she said when you're having one team set a new loss record and then the next year maybe another team setting a new loss record, it might be something that needs to be looked at. Do you see any major change anytime soon when it comes to how Major League Baseball teams divvy up their revenues in a more similar way to maybe to the NFL, which, of course, has thrived in such a situation?
Yeah, but they can't do that because – you know, a Packers, let's say a Packers Bucks game, which isn't two of the largest media markets, could be on Sunday Night Football and be the biggest game of the week. But you can't put the Rays and Brewers on Sunday Night Baseball and have it get anything. You just can't. It's never going to happen.
Not now. And it's funny you say that because I said the same thing, except I said Packers and Jags.
I mean, it's the same point, right? I mean, we think alike. That's bad news for
us.
It's
really bad for one of us.
No, it's bad for me.
Or maybe both of us.
Or me. Bad for both of
us. Or you.
Or
yeah.
Him, yeah.
So, I don't know exactly what to tell you. It's just that I don't foresee that happening. I'll be very curious at the end of 2026 when this collective bargaining agreement is up. I fear, I've been told, hey, just calm down, take a deep breath, it'll all be okay, the game's too healthy, which it is. I mean, you know, the television numbers are up. The attendance has been good the last couple of years. I do like the rule changes that we just talked about at the beginning of this interview. Like, I think there's a lot of good in the sport. You can't compare it to the NFL. I mean, that's just utterly preposterous. The NFL is so far ahead of every other sport. It is lapping every other sport. And then college football is probably next. And then after that, everybody else has just kind of got to stay in their lane a little bit and not deal with comparisons. And, well, that sport does it this way. It's just not going to work.
Chris, give me the latest on your thoughts on the Guardian. Shane Bieber could be here right around the corner. Tough game last night against the Yankees.
Yeah, the challenge for the Guardians is when they play really good teams, they have to play so many aspects of the game perfectly, meaning that when they do hit the ball, they've got to bust ass out of the box. And when they don't, and it costs themselves an out on the bases, that is significantly larger for the Cleveland Guardians than it is for the New York Yankees. And I think we all know what play I'm talking about from last night. You know, he does a great job hitting the ball. Arias does not bust it out of the gate. And then he decides to try for second, and he gets thrown out. So instead of first and third, it's one out, it's runner at third and two outs. And now you're asking a team that is run scoring deficient to get a clutch hit. And it doesn't happen. Like, to me, it's those little things. Like, he does such a great job putting together a good at bat, smoking one to right center, and then he doesn't bust it out of the gate. Like, that's something, to me, that's something where teammates got to say something. That can't come from a coaching staff. That's got to come from a teammate. Be like, bro, we need better. We need better. We need to be better in so many aspects. We can't have mental lapses on defense, which I saw in the beginning of the year. We've cut down on it better. We're just not good enough to be deficient in areas where we know that we can control things. Because the lineup stinks. It just does. And the starting pitching is so-so at best. Now,
the gentleman you were talking about, and Chris Rose joining us, by the way, Gabe Arias has dropped his batting average every month so far this season. So even though he had the great start, okay, he's sliding a little bit. Brian Rocchio seems to be finding his swing in Columbus a little bit, doing okay. When one guy warms up, Nolan Jones a little bit, Arias is not warming up. If this team can get a couple of guys hot at the same time, Chris, maybe this offense changes. But as you just said, man, you're looking at Jose, you're looking at Stephen Kwan, and then you're keeping your fingers crossed. How right. can they change that without changing big trades, personnel, somebody unbelievably ready to come up from the minors? I just don't know if it's possible with this group of guys.
It can't. I mean, it's just, you're dealing with the guys that you have here. I mean, I actually, on Baseball Today, we talked about the San Francisco Giants, who for 16 straight games have not scored more than 4 runs. Wow. 16 straight. And they're a team that does spend money. They spent $182 million on Willy Adames to come in, and he's been horrible. You know, Jung-Hoo Lee, they spent 9 figures on him to go play center field. So it happens with teams that even do spend money. We don't. We don't. You know, we gave Jose his contract, and everybody else is on their rookie deal. In our everyday lineup, everybody else is on their rookie deal or on a one-year contract. We talked about that last week, guys. It's just, if that's the way you're going to build your roster, then these are the pains you have to go through. And some guys will make it. You know, we're hoping that Manzardo will do it. Nolan Jones, over the last several weeks, has been much better. His at-bats have been excellent, in my opinion. And you just hope that at some point, like, those loud outs carry over the wall. You know, I mean, it feels like that guy should have at least 10 homers by now, but he just doesn't. You know, I'm checking out what C.J. Kafis does every day in the minors. I'm thinking to myself, well, is he going to be our starting first baseman next year? You know, like, that's what my life has been relegated to. I watch the Guardians. I root with all of my might, but I know that we're deficient. And doesn't mean they can't make the playoffs. They can, because the American League's not great, but they're going to have to wow us for like a 6-week stretch offensively that would surprise us.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
Thanks,
your time.
You got it, boys. Take care.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word.
From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Aaron Rodgers is a Pittsburgh Steeler to talk all things Pittsburgh Steelers. And Aaron Rodgers, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is Brian Batko. He is the Steelers beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, can I get in a guess on that unknown actor real
quick?
Yes,
you can.
I would love that because I can send it to Vanessa and she can tell me one way or another.
John Malkovich is my guess, just based on the very brief synopsis there.
That's a great guess, because you do like John Malkovich.
I do. Now, she saw a picture of John Malkovich and went, I don't think that's him either.
You've also, I know you've done the Teddy KGB impression at some point in life, because everyone has.
Who hasn't? Yeah, you have
everyone
to.
Has.
If you're a man of a certain age, it has to. People saying Ralph Fiennes. Who was the guy who played Voldemort? I think that's where he's going there. I don't think it's him either. But
I told you, I've never seen Harry Potter.
That's for another day. Now, Brian.
Any of them.
One, I will still send her and see if maybe that changes her opinion here. Or changes her.
Former Steelers OC Matt Canada, maybe?
Ooh. she has standards, Brian.
And in that house, they know that Nick is not a fan of Matt Canada. They know that.
Were you surprised at the timing or the fact that the news actually finally happened?
Not at all surprised that it finally happened. I thought it was a matter of when, not if. Non-zero chance that Aaron Rodgers goes full Aaron Rodgers and just sails off into the sunset, quite literally. But I'm a little surprised that he is going to be here for minicamp. I thought maybe he'd want to try to skip all of the spring activities and just see what he can do come training camp. But, yeah, maybe the Steelers did finally draw a line in the sand and say, look, you want to not be on the team so that you can avoid all the OTAs, hullabaloo, fine, but just come here for the mandatory thing because everyone else is going to be.
Brian, you think the reception would be positive, but it feels like, again, we're in Cleveland, obviously, so we don't have the full grasp of it, but it feels like it hasn't necessarily been as positive.
No, I don't think it is. I think you're naturally getting a decent amount of folks who, once he's officially part of their team, well, then, you know, you root for the jersey no matter what, and now you start squinting and talking yourself into, well, Mike Tomlin knows a lot more about football than you and me. Like, okay, that's all well and good, but if you came out of last season and went into this offseason thinking Aaron Rodgers was washed, then just have some pride and integrity and carry that with you, even though the Steelers are now getting into bed with him. So, yeah, I talk to so many people here, guys, who just say, why don't we let Mason Rudolph finally get his one big chance? And if it goes great, cool. If it doesn't, we'll draft high next year and maybe finally get our next franchise quarterback.
So I think it's interesting here because we've talked about it. And the second it happened, I said Steelers are winning the division this year, and I think they're finally going to break the playoff drought because I don't think he's washed. And I think he's what they've been missing, just enough left as a passer to do it. How much are things going to change offensively, though?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think we're all here kind of wondering from a schematical standpoint, you know, did he and Arthur Smith hash out a lot of those wrinkles during his 6-hour-long visit to the facility back in March? Maybe. And was there a handshake deal of, guys, just let me take this time that I need, but you can feel good about it. I feel good about it. Don't worry. All's going to be sunshine and rainbows eventually. That could be. But, you know, just knowing what Arthur Smith has thrived on in the past as a play caller, it's, you know, under center, play action, Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, motions, pre-snap shifts. Aaron Rodgers is not really, that's not really his cup of tea, at least not at this stage of his career. But I think what could be the X factor and go toward, you know, your optimistic scenario there for the Steelers is if Smith just gives him all the faith and trust and confidence in the world pre-snap at the line of scrimmage that he didn't give Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, maybe he can still lean into Aaron Rodgers' strengths and he can kind of be that X factor for an offense that, you know, has got DK Metcalf out there and, you know, a young but possibly developing offensive line to get this run game going.
Is Tomlin's job on the line with this move? Do you feel like if this doesn't work out, this is the year he ends up being out of a job?
Not in the sense of, you know, Art Rooney II would fire him. I mean, that's just never going to happen. The Steelers' hot seat does not work with the same controls as pretty much 31 other teams' hot seats. So I don't think it's like a job risking move from that standpoint. But if this thing blows up in his face and if Aaron Rodgers is more of the publicly curmudgeon-y old guy than, you know, the cool, savvy, likable vet, and this goes south, I mean, there's been a lot of negativity surrounding the Steelers these last 6 or 7 years especially. And, I mean, every season that he coaches, Mike Tomlin gets closer to not being in that job. He's not going to do it forever. So at some point, would he decide, like, okay, I'm ready to just call it a career here and do something else, go somewhere else? That's the only thing I wonder in the back of my mind. But no, even if this thing goes wrong, I don't think the Steelers would try to force him out or anything like that.
All right, when I gave my spicy prediction, I heard an audible "oh" over there.
See it coming, Brian.
Where do you put the expectation there for Aaron and the Steelers this year?
Well, guys, my expectation for every Steelers season begins at the fill line of they will go 500 at least. I am not going to predict otherwise until I see it with my own two eyes. They did it with Duck Hodges starting a third of the season back in 2019. And ever since then, I said I'm going to be a year late rather than a year early on predicting the sub-500 record as long as Mike Tomlin is here as the head coach of the Steelers. But I'm also not going the other way. I'm not going to call this team winning a playoff game and really breaking through until I see it because of this cycle of slightly above average that they've been stuck in. So I guess, you know, the question I get a lot from readers is, you know, what's their ceiling with Rodgers versus their ceiling with Mason Rudolph? Maybe with Rodgers, I think it's 11 wins. Maybe with Rudolph, it's 10 wins. And I still think the floor is by hook or by crook. They'll find a way to win a couple games they shouldn't, and they'll eke out an above 500 record and be right on the cusp of either being that seventh seed or just missing the playoffs.
Yeah, it's funny. I looked at like the Vegas odds and trying to figure out what a bump up it would be from Rodgers, you know, taking the job over from Mason Rudolph, and it's like, oh, so there's still the win-loss percentage, none of that changed. And then also they're still third in the AFC North. None of that changed. And it just kind of felt like is Aaron Rodgers just not getting enough credit, or do we undervalue Mason Rudolph? Or is that just the idea that Tomlin's always going to get you to a certain point?
Well, I think the reason why I mentioned before that I talked to a lot of just, you know, normal fans in everyday life, friends and family, who are like, hey, let's roll with Rudolph rather than take on some of the Aaron Rodgers baggage, because the last he was seen here, he did late in the 2023 season take over for Kenny Pickett / Mitch Trubisky. Happy birthday to Kenny Pickett, by the way, and lead this team on a 3-game winning streak and make the playoffs against all odds. And yeah, they got blown out by the Bills, but Mason didn't like disgrace himself in that game. So I think that's the big reason why a lot of fans are like, hey, last time we saw him, he saved the day, he can at least do that again, and maybe there's more left in him. So I think it's more likely that Aaron Rodgers would have a better season than Mason Rudolph at this stage of the game. But that, I think, is why you're not seeing a dramatic shift. And, of course, there is the matter of the Jets going 5-12 last season, Aaron Rodgers having some, I would say, hollow, maybe a little bit inflated playing from behind statistics, and another year older, is he going to be able to move much at all, trying to maneuver the pocket, drift like he likes to do, extend plays, all that sort of thing?
So this is the point where we ask you about TJ Watt and whether things are going to get buttoned up anywhere in the near future.
I think they will, basing this mainly off of, you know, the last time they were in this situation, 2021. It went all the way into September, guys, week one of the season. There was a lot of noise around that. His defensive coordinator basically came out and was like, I don't blame him. I'd do the same thing if I were a player in today's age. So I just think it's one of those situations where both sides are going to need to budge a little. There's going to be have to be some compromise. Both will be unhappy with certain aspects of it, but in the end, it'll just get a little worse before it gets better. And I can't imagine the Steelers, especially with, like I said, all the other kind of dark storm clouds following this organization, that they would add letting TJ Watt be disgruntled and playing for another team to that mix, as long as they can handle it.
You mentioned it's Kenny Pickett's birthday, but it's okay. You can be mean on a birthday. I'm even sure he'll live. But maybe you want to be nice. I don't know. What do you think about the idea that Kenny Pickett could be some sort of savior here for the Browns, and Stefanski and company have found somebody that was basically Pittsburgh's trash to turn into our treasure?
Well, I mean, hey, Kenny, if you're listening, like my Browns family is listening right now in Cleveland, you know, I covered him at Pitt. I had good experiences with him, obviously covered him again with the Steelers. And I think the pressure was a lot more on him then, certainly going from the city's college team to the city's pro team. And, you know, that blew up in everybody's face in a way that I certainly didn't expect, more of a dysfunctional way than I ever would have anticipated from someone like Kenny. But I don't, honestly, guys, I don't ever think he'll be like a high quality NFL starter. I think at best he's sort of a backup who can get you through a few games, maybe even half of a season. But I think that's kind of his ceiling. And I don't really blame the Browns for trying to use him as a little bit of a bridge here, but I think he was overdrafted. And, you know, in the end, it was kind of crappy for him that he came to Pittsburgh, where the spotlight was brighter and harsher than it would have been in probably 31 other cities.
So while you're saying that, you did steal Will Howard from the state of Ohio. We would, can you ask the Steelers to stop taking? They took Jack Sawyer as well. Mm-hmm. Continuously take our favorite Ohio State players. Certain guy named Heward, who was pretty darn good as well. I just specific to Will Howard. Is there a belief that he has the ability to potentially start for the Steelers, or is this just a future backup?
I think he's got the floor of a future backup, which is what they like. And, you know, the fans here are almost hyping Will Howard up too much because of the national championship run. And he's got the big body. He's on the John Gruden show, and Gruden's comparing him to Josh Allen. And somebody else is like, look at his measurables next to Ben Roethlisberger. Isn't that intriguing? And, you know, that's all well and good, but he lasted until the sixth round for a reason. I mean, every team says this every year with every pick, but I do genuinely think in this case, the Steelers were surprised he was still on the board and were very happy and eager to get him at that value. But no, I mean, I think he's, at best, if things go awry at quarterback like they have so often in recent years for the Steelers, and maybe he does get an opportunity and run with it. But at worst, I mean, he's somebody you can rely on for the length of his rookie deal to do and say all the right things, work hard, be a good locker room guy. And, you know, if you ever need him to play, he probably won't kill you. So I think that's their mindset and mentality there.
Is it surprising how many changes the Steelers have made? Like imagine in week five of last year, if I was like, Hey Brian, like I saw the future. It's Aaron Rodgers throwing to DK Metcalf to start off the season. You'd look at me like I have 10 million eyeballs coming out of my head. It's insane.
Yeah, probably. But also I might have said, well, after this past off season where Kenny Pickett was jettisoned after 2 years, which is very un-Steelers-like, and they went out and signed Russell Wilson and traded for Justin Fields, I might have believed anything you were going to tell me. So, yeah, obviously at one point there midseason, things were looking really smooth with Danger Russ. And, you know, we had people on our radio stations asking me, well, would you give him a, you know, a three-year, $40 million a deal right now? And I'm like, guys, hold on. I mean, we've got to play see what they do against the Ravens. See what they do, you know, when the schedule gets tougher. And obviously the bottom did fall out. So, you know, there have been a lot of changes. Yes, you know, starting quarterbacks, plural, gone. Najee Harris, gone. George Pickens, gone. But there are a lot of people here in Pittsburgh, too, will say the Steelers didn't do enough, whether that's, you know, Mike Tomlin feeling the heat or more changes to the coaching staff, because those have been the constants through this playoff drought, even as they've cycled through a lot of different personnel.
Yeah, the crazy thing, you don't know this. He JP actually does have 10,000 eyes.
Yeah, we just haven't met in person, Brian. Yeah, so it's going to be a real startling moment for you.
At which point you'll also look at him the way you might have when he asked that question.
They call me a science miracle.
That's awesome. I mean, we still need to figure out who the bald actor is. You know, I'm looking forward to the conclusion of that. Like I said, I've got family out there in Cleveland. Maybe they'll keep listening and they can give me the word on what happened there and how that all turned out.
Brian, she said she had a dream about this actor last night. Not that kind of dream, easy. Hello. But that she dreamed about him, and still in the dream, all the whole dream was, who are you? Like yelling at this guy. What is your name? Where do I know you from? And apparently the guy just would not say. So that's where we're at.
I mean, Bryan Cranston was bald for some of Breaking Bad.
I thought about that. I wondered if Cranston was in the mix.
Everybody that everyone has mentioned to this point, it was in the collection of when we Googled bald white actors potentially with glasses. Cranston was one of them.
It's going to end up being like, oh no, that's not a celebrity. It was my neighbor when I was growing up.
It's
two doors down.
Now it's going to end up being somebody so infuriating that I consider divorce. That's really where this is going to go. So hope
dreams
no divorce.
Sometimes they're an amalgamation of many things, and it doesn't make any sense except to you in that moment.
That's true. Look at that. We got deep here. Brian, great stuff, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys. We'll see you.
Brian Batko there, Steelers writer and reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We will react to the Steelers' patience with Mike Tomlin, and I've lost my patience elsewhere here in Cleveland. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Silly season going on for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The real season going on for the Cleveland Guardians right now, 32-26. Still looking good amongst themselves, keeping their head above water as they welcome in some guys. And we'll welcome in Terry Pluto to talk about all these things. Cleveland Plain Dealer, you've read his books. You've seen his books. I'm sure if you're a sports fan at all, you've read one of his books. How many books have you written now, Terry?
Too many.
Terry, I said last week that one of my first, maybe the first sports book I ever read was one that you wrote about pro basketball, I think in the mid-90s. Falling from grace, I think it was.
Really?
And it got me
started.
You're
one of the few. I should probably just come over and shake your hand.
Terry,
that did not do real well. Like I said, I've written too many.
Falling from grace. Can Terry?
Yeah,
Terry's the book career.
I got that royalty statement. It said one book sold, or at least stolen, and I now know who did it. So,
Geauga West Library, Terry. Wow. They had your whole catalog.
Well, that's great.
That's beautiful.
No, I appreciate that. It's probably more than 30. And of course, remember, I've been writing, you know, I started writing right after the New Testament was published. So that was a couple of centuries ago. And I'm just glad to be able to still be in the game, as they say.
I want to start.
Joe Flacco and I are hanging on here.
Terry Pluto joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm going to start Guardians with you real quick. Keith Law, I mean, we are 2 months into the season. Keith Law actually admits that when he ranks the top 50 prospects, but he has Travis Bezanis still 25th. Now, this is Keith Law of The Athletic, and he said he's worried about Travis Bezanis. Very steep swing, he writes, striking out 28% of the time. Is there any reason to be worried about Travis Bezanis already? I know you talk to everybody. Is there anybody going, maybe it's going to take a little longer than we thought?
They'd like to see more, I'll tell you that. I mean, it's unfortunate that he did the oblique thing, because that's the kind of injury that goes on like 4 to 8 weeks. And he was starting, he got off to a crappy start. I think in May he was hitting like 280 with OPS like around 750. So he was starting to hit. You know, I've watched him, because he's not real big physically or anything, it's hard to say, boy, he just looks like the top pick in the draft or anything. But baseball is a strange sport. I mean, who is the best player on the Guardians, and what does he look like right now? I mean, physically, what's he look like?
You're talking about Jose?
Yeah. Physically, that's the closest thing I could think of.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I'm not saying he will be, but that's why it's so hard to judge. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Jose in, it was in a spring training game in 2013. He was 20 years old and came up from A-ball, and he was in the same game with Frankie Lindor. And I was sitting with Mark Shapiro, who was running the team back then. And, you know, I was, Lindor, that's great. You knew who he was, first-round pick. And this little guy's playing second base, and he turns a double play, and he, like, gets a base hit, steals a base. And I'm like, who is that guy? And he goes, well, that's Jose Ramirez. And I go, I never heard of him. He said, well, just looking him up. And he had, like, 350 in Lake County, I think, the year before. But he was nobody's prospect. He didn't look like – he wasn't as stocky as he is now, but he was small. And nobody even back then, and really, by the way, Shapiro said he's got a chance to be special, but nobody thought he was going to hit a bunch of home runs or anything. And that's why baseball is kind of cool. There's a lot of people that go against the physical norm that you expect of players. But in terms of Bezanis, you know, need to get healthy and get going. I mean, that would be my thought.
What have you thought of this season so far? We're past Memorial Day. I said right as we brought you on, their head's above water. I've had a lot of people.
They're not above water. They got the third best record in the American League.
Well, see, that's great, because I had a lot of pushback on that stuff last week, Terry.
I mean, right? You face your competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not fantasy ball, or you get extra points for whatever. You know, the Tigers are having a great year, and I think that's what they're kind of doing. What the Guardians did last year, they bolted from the gate, and it really helps. And I guess my view would be, it's not like this team is overachieving to be 32-26 of injuries and problems, but they are 32-26. So then I looked and said, well, what are they against teams over 500? Any idea there, guys?
I wish I could tell you, Terry. I really wish I could tell you.
19-15.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Because I got some pushback, and this turns into a really wonky ownership conversation, as it always does.
I know, the Dolans are cheap. Let's hang up. And boy, how about the Browns? They spend money.
Well, because I'm being told
You can tell I'm. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But last week, I can't. Listen, I sympathize with the frustrations of fans, but at the same time, I understand what this is about. They had the rug pulled out from under them in the TV contract. I've seen other teams take their haircut because they had to get out of their contracts earlier. So this is the year we take it. I'm going, okay, as long as they put on a good show and they keep, quote unquote, their heads above water and give it a chance, I still think it's going to be a successful season.
I mean, one of the things we have to say, since Terry Francona and Antonetti, paired up in 2013, obviously Tito's gone, but they've never been bad.
They never have. So I've
never been bad.
And
they're not going to be bad again this year.
No.
And the mistake I made last year when I picked them to be 72-90, I forgot that. So just to, lay out how smart I can be sometimes. But I just didn't like, in fact, I didn't like the bullpen. They had the best bullpen in baseball. I mean, all this kind of stuff where I was really wrong. And my view is, where before I would always pick them, to finish over 500. I was never like wild predictions, but I would stay in. Once it got established how Tito managed the team and how they were running, it's like these guys are never going to be bad right now. And I see the same thing with Vogt coming in, and they find ways to, like you said, not only keep your head above water, but also keep hope alive, and legitimately. I mean, I'm just looking. If you break it down, it kind of makes no sense. They're between like 8th and 10th and earn run average and run scored and stuff. There's nothing about the team that even the bullpen ERA is just like average. There's nothing about them that stands out like last year, but yet they're 32-26.
All right, Terry Pluto, join us on the hotline. Let's get over to basketball. And there have been a lot of hypothetical Darius Garland trades, for instance, not to mention Jared Allen. Is there anything that makes sense to you that you've heard so far?
I don't know. I mean, I've always been a Jalen Suggs fan. Again, I was the genius that thought they were better off taking Suggs in the draft than Evan Mobley. So there's another smart one for me. But I like Suggs. I would not trade straight up Garland for Suggs. By the way, if they make a trade, they have to. This gets really wonky, that second apron and all that stuff. They would have to do it, I believe, before July 1st, because after that, they're in the apron thing. And that means, you can't trade Garland for Jalen Suggs and someone else. It has to be a straight-up contract-for-contract deal. You can't put two contracts together. That's one of the big things of that. So that, I think, hits on July 1st for Cleveland and several other teams. So if they're going to make a move, they'd have to do it then. I don't know. I'm really divided on Garland because you could obviously see the skill. I mean, he's a good guy, everything else, but he's had trouble being healthy by playoff time. And I've always had some doubts about the small backcourt in terms of going deep in the playoffs. So, I mean, I would be open to talks about him. We'll see, but I haven't heard anything say, boy, I wouldn't trade him, even though I like Suggs, I wouldn't trade him straight up for Suggs, because Suggs gets hurt too. But I really like this game. I believe Suggs would fit better, not be a better player now, but fit better with Donovan. But that's my thought.
Terry, I also think this is one thing that really isn't being talked about by a lot of people. They're just looking at talent level and they're looking at all-stars and everything. I'm saying that I actually think maybe down the road, what Evan Mobley needs the most is that he needs the ball in his hands. He needs to up the usage. Well, how do you do that with two guards that want the ball, have the ball, and are constantly, dribbling and taking shots? Well, maybe you alleviate that by getting rid of one of those guys and bring in somebody who's longer, more athletic, and can play defense.
And if you look at the teams that are in the finals, you get SGA, and I forgot who the other guard is. The other, and the same thing with Indiana, you have Neesmith and those guys. It's like they have like one main guard, and then they have these kind of guys that could float in and out. There's some are defenders, some come off the bench and score. They don't have an all-star backcourt. And maybe that's the way to go. It's a fascinating thing to watch what's happened with the NBA, where, the rise of of teams that are not star dominated. They do have stars, but it's nothing like, you know, the LeBron, Kevin Love, all that we had here, Kyrie, or even some of the Golden State great teams that they have. It's from a purist standpoint, it's a lot of fun. I'm sure the networks are just thrilled to have Indiana and OKC in the finals.
Well, I got to tell you, Terry, you just gave me a leaping off point for the next segment here about the fit and the talent, and maybe I'm living in the past here, but I don't want to give it away just yet because, boy, you're making me think about it. I've been making this argument over the last couple of weeks, and maybe I need to do an about face coming up at 9:22. I want to ask you this, though. I'm already tired of hearing about Dylan Gabriel's height. Are you tired of hearing about Dylan Gabriel's height and all the other stuff concerning these two rookie quarterbacks?
Yeah, I just want to see him play. It'd be fun. The cool thing is, at least in the preseason games, we could watch him because those guys will be playing. So that'll be fun. But the height, I mean, odds are, look, I'd rather have a quarterback that's 6'3 than 5'11. I mean, that's for sure. But once in a while, somebody defies, you know, like we had just talked about, whether it's Jose Ramirez or the Guardians taking Bazana. You know, now Jack Kilgallon, the guy that Royals just called up, he was picked fourth or fifth in the draft. Jack Kilgallon, I think, like Joe Kilgallon, just got called up. He looked like he walked out of the central casting of the, you know, the guy that's, here's your super player. And he's the one that came up. I remember looking at tapes of him playing a forward. He was both a pitcher and an outfielder. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's got a big swing. I don't know. And now he's the first one to make the big leagues from that draft. So you never do know. And the same thing with quarterbacks, for the most part, they look a certain way. But there's, you know, there are guys that defy the type. And it's a third-round pick. Same thing with Shador. It's a fifth-round pick. You know, you feel good about a six-foot guy in the third round, take him. Fine.
Terry Pluto joining us here. All right, what is your thoughts on Shador Sanders from what you've talked to, from the people you talked to? Like, we played his father talking about the stuff that he feels is made up about his meetings and why he fell so far in the draft. What do you know, Terry?
I think Deion would have been better off just saying we could have handled it better. That would have really been better off. And they could have, because they, you know, they didn't throw the ball at the Senior Bowl would have been a thing that really would have helped him. He was there for interviews, but he didn't take part. These other quarterbacks did. And there were certain teams that they did, be it blow-off interviews or just didn't do a great job because they just assumed they were being the pick higher. They totally miscalculated the draft. And instead of talking to the draft experts, they probably should have done more work with the teams. And see, that's where an agent comes into play. I don't know if you know, but Shiloh Sanders, you know, was also represented by the father. Mm-hmm. And then Shiloh was not drafted. In fact, right after the draft was over, he hired Drew Rosenhaus to get him a job with the, I believe he went to Miami. So you need an agent sometime who's locked in more, can give you more of a objective view than a father who loves his sons.
You know, you were right about this because I just read an article in The Athletic. I hate to, you know, give other people publicity here while I'm talking to a man from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, but I have to do it, about the fear that these NFL coaches and even college coaches are really having with these fathers of quarterbacks, these QB dads that they're being talked about, and how like they have to almost reprogram these dads or they end up in some of these bad situations. And I wonder if that... I'm a fan of Deion. I'm in that age group,
right,
Terry, but maybe he did cost his son in so many ways.
All he had to do was just turn it over to an agent. That's all. I'm sure Deion has an agent. I'm sure there's other agents.
Yeah.
And then just back off and let him do it. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. I'm not that I'm a big-time writer or whatever, but for my books, I have an agent because I've had the same agent for over 40 years, and once in a while she tells me, you know, that's not a good idea. And I need to hear that.
All right, Terry, we were talking about your books at the start of this interview. So I'll conclude saying this. You had a book, False Start, How the New Browns Were Set Up to Fail. And in that, you you talked about the...
How about that? Here we are 25 years later.
Well, you talked about the Rush Stadium setup and all that. We're having a stadium conversation again, and it's gotten very ugly politically with the city and county, the state, and the Haslams. What is your take on all of this right now?
my fact is, other than everybody's got their own agenda, nobody really wants to talk to each other. They talk at each other. And until that changes, you know, not a lot's going to get done. You know, for the Haslams, right now, they are in that thing in public opinion where no matter what they do, it's wrong, you know, for some people, even if they have a good idea, because of just the Sean Watson thing and the history there. And, you know, a lot of public officials, just that this is a good, this is a talker. This gets their name out there. I mean, a lot of people who are in different public arenas of politics are suddenly getting more publicity now than they ever do because they're involved in the Browns thing. So to me, it's just so, it sounds like a dodge, but it's so much noise and it's so hard to be able for me to even keep track of what's right. I have to admit, I've kind of tuned out on some of part of it, and I'm just like, these guys are eventually going to figure out what they want to do, but until then, they're just going to scream. There are a bunch of people yelling at each other in a room and trying to look for an audience. It's like really bad political talk on TV.
Terry Pluto on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Terry, thank you very much for the time. We hope to talk to you again very soon.
Great. Take care, guys.
You too. Terry Pluto on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
People that are either giving you the horror stories or telling you the blessing, the great blessing that is about to be at your doorstep.
You've been through it before two times, but it's been a while.
Yeah. It's been quite. It's almost been 15 and a half years, in fact, since the last time that we had this type of a foray. But no, it's all been a lot of excitement. I think, you know, because I have done it, I know about the joy and the bliss and all that, but I'm also a proper amount nervous because there's going to be a lot to do with the young fella. So I'm very excited about it. Obviously, it's a great blessing for our family, and I know it's awesome for me and for Kayla. So we're very excited, very excited. But no, so far, everybody's been so positive. Everybody yesterday was, I finished up with the Browns for at least for a couple of weeks, and then hopefully I'll pop in and out at times, but everybody was so coming over to the studio. It was very cool. Very nice. Very supportive.
It's going to be awesome. I'm very happy for you and Caleb.
Yeah,
this is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to meet the boy. It's going to be a great time.
Oh, yeah. He'll be out of training camp this year. He's ready to go.
This is going to be great. Nathan Zagura joining us.
He's already, we're talking to him, you know, through the belly as you're able to do it. I'm telling him, get ready. You know, you got to be charting throws at training camp.
Oh, so yeah.
That's going to be big. So we're already getting him ready to go on that.
Nathan Zagura with us on the show. So Lyman and I had kind of a, a row earlier this morning because I said, hey, like a lot of people are saying great things about Shedeur Sanders. I like Shedeur. He moves the needle on content, everything. What are you going to do, man? For sure, you can't. I'm going to lean into it. I can't deny it. But that said, I want to do what's right by him. I think it's been a tumultuous spring and summer for him because of the scrutiny. That's probably not his fault, but there's been scrutiny there. And I said, man, I'd rather just kind of take him out of the running for number one quarterback. He might already be out of the running for number one quarterback just because of how they want to do it. But I want to do that just because I think you could almost spike his career before you even get the chance to get it off the ground if he goes out there and he's not able to conduct an offense the way we've seen other quarterbacks go out there too early and not conduct an offense.
For sure. So, and some of the stuff with Shedeur from a national standpoint, like, you know, I've done a couple of interviews and it's, they talk to me like as though he's the only quarterback on the roster. And I get it from a content standpoint. I was, you know, yesterday out of left field accused that I was, you know, creating false hope and false narratives around Shedeur Sanders. And so what we did was play a clip from Cleveland Browns Daily on Tuesday, which anybody who wants to see it, you can watch, go to our, you know, YouTube page, Cleveland Browns YouTube page, watch the opening segment from yesterday's show. We played a clip tonight from Tuesday, which was completely about urging patience from the fan base, from everybody when talking about Shedeur Sanders and saying that when you see him throw the football, he throws a beautiful football. He throws a very catchable football. He throws a very accurate football. His ball placement, as I've talked about, is elite. But there is so much more to playing the quarterback position at the National Football League level than just your ability to throw the football. You have to have that. That, I think, is once you master the other things, the ones who are great are the ones who can decipher where to go with the football and understand all the things pre and post snap, but then actually have the skill to deliver the football. We have a lot of quarterbacks in this league that can make every throw in the book, but they have no idea where to throw it, or they have the arm strength, but they can't be accurate with the football, or they can't read a defense, and so it doesn't matter that they're accurate. So you need all of those things, and I think when you look at kind of the journey, let's say just take the two rookies on the roster that Dylan Gabriel took and that Shedeur Sanders took to the National Football League. You know, Dylan Gabriel was always at major programs, had the three stops. He started more games than anybody. I think his on-ramp to some of the things from the nuances of being a quarterback in the National Football League because of the way that he was coached in college and the things that he was exposed to is shorter than that of Shedeur. And so really kind of looking through the lens of Shedeur Sanders, was at Jackson State, was at Colorado, a lot of different offensive coordinators. I know that. We had an NFL head coach and offensive coordinator, obviously, in the last stop in Pat Shurmur. But I don't think he was asked to do a lot of the things. So this is no fault of Shedeur's, nor is it a comment on his capability to do these things. I think he just has a kind of a longer on-ramp or a longer learning curve to all of the things pre-snap, all of the checks that you need to be able to make, to being under center, to calling plays in the huddle, to being able to be comfortable turning your back to the defense, having that initial snapshot, turning around, getting that second snapshot, understanding what has changed and what that means for where the football needs to go, than the other quarterbacks that he's competing against. Certainly Joe Flacco, who has been in the league since 2008 and is the ultimate veteran, a consummate pro. Certainly Kenny Pickett, who still started 25 games in this league, even though he's still on his rookie contract. And then Dylan, who started more games in college football than anybody else. So I think that that's the lens. I think it's going to be very easy to go just watch him throw the football and say, okay, yes, he is making a lot of strides. And boy, is he. He's working his butt off. He's in there early. He's out late. He is obsessed with the opportunity to work with Joe Flacco. It's one of the things that he cites all the time, why he's so excited about what he gets to do every day. So I think that you're right in the sense that I'm not saying Shedeur Sanders can't be the starting quarterback for the Browns at some point this year, but I think, could it happen? Anything is possible, but I think it is more likely than not that that will be something that's later as he continues to get the valuable reps. And it's not just reps on the field. It's the reps on the whiteboard. It's all the understanding of every little nuance and subtlety that goes with being a quarterback in the National Football League. And I think he's incredible. He's absolutely capable of getting to that point. I think he will get to that point. I think he's probably going to get there faster than we think. But that's a challenge that is not easily seen. And I go back to, well, everybody had first and second round grade on him. Well, that's just on the tape. On the tape, there's no doubt what Shedeur Sanders is. And that is an elite thrower of the football, an elite distributor, point guard of the football. But there's the other parts of going into playing quarterback that, again, it is not his fault, but he wasn't asked to do a lot of the things that you have to do, I think, at this level. And so that's why you need to have that patience with him. And to what you're saying is, ultimately, it's going to maybe take him a little longer to get to the point where he really has that grasp that he can then be in that competition. But let me tell you this, he is incredibly talented. He's incredibly hardworking. And I think his ceiling is very, very high.
All right, so obviously we joked about the charting of throws. The media has only gotten to see so much. And again, there's no pass rush involved in any of this. So should fans maybe not temper their enthusiasm? We want fans to get excited about what's going on in the offseason. But should they not really be persuaded one way or another based on the media reports at this time?
Yes. And I'll just kind of give like a little more context to what I'm saying. Number one, that media snapshot, until we get to training camp, then it's every day. So that's a little bit of a better picture. But right now, the media snapshot is one out of the 3 days of work in a week. So it's 33% of the body of work, right? Two, when you just list completions, attempts, touchdowns, interceptions, and that's all that's listed, that doesn't tell you anything. So I have my own spreadsheets and my own charts that I'm going through to kind of just keep tabs on these things, not anything that, you know, is going to be for public consumption, but just to understand. But on mine, it's, there's so many more factors in that, right? Is it team? Is it 7-on-7? Because that's different. Is it red zone or not red zone? Because that's different. Obviously, some of these touchdowns, if you're getting more reps in a red zone period than you've got in a team period relative to somebody else, it's more likely that you're going to throw more touchdowns. The other thing is, okay, when were you playing? Were you up first? Were you up second? Who were you playing against? What defense are you playing against? Were you playing against the ones? Were you playing against the twos? Were you playing against the threes? All of these things matter into the equation. And that's why I talked about more in terms of not the numbers, not the reps, what we're seeing now, but how does that evolve and do those things change? Do we see quarterbacks like Shador, who have not yet gone against the starters? Does he earn that opportunity to go against the starters? Because that changes how you look maybe at some of the numbers. The other thing is, too, you could see 7-for-9, but you could have a quarterback who goes, let's call it 6-for-9, another quarterback who goes 8-for-9. In that 8-for-9, how many of those were checkdowns? How many of those were throws where you're actually throwing it in rhythm where the ball was supposed to go? How many times are you pushing it down the field? So I think it's very hard when we're just posting up, this guy was 8-for-10 with 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. This guy over here was 6-for-10 with 1 touchdown and 1 interception. It's not apples to apples. It's not like this is in a game on Sunday where you're playing against an opponent. It's not apples to apples at all. So I think that part of it, you lose a lot of the nuance. So I would definitely be taking those things with a massive grain of salt. Now, directionally, you can see, and you, everybody who goes out there, you have eyes and the videos you watch. You can see who's throwing the ball well. You can see who maybe at times is not throwing the ball as well. But there's so much more to it than just the raw data of this guy threw this many passes, this many were complete, he threw this many touchdowns, threw this many interceptions, because it doesn't tell you kind of anything about the quality of the completion. It doesn't tell you what the quarterback was asked to do on that play. It doesn't tell you who he's going against, who his receivers are on the play. So I think all of those things matter, and that's why the coaches have all of these reps, and we're getting so much work. I think if there's a big story coming out of training camp, and I know quarterback, obviously, that's the big story. But the second big story to me is, folks, this is a completely different OTA than we've seen with the Cleveland Browns in recent years. The number of reps, the intensity of reps, all of it. I think having these quarterbacks is kind of spurring that on. Maybe not from the intensity standpoint, but the number to get all the work. So you're having a team that's getting a lot more work out of their OTAs than they have in the past. And I'm telling you this right now because I've talked about it with numerous coaches on this team. You're going to see, fans, when you come to training camp this year, longer, harder, more demanding training camp practices than you've seen in recent years from the Cleveland Browns.
And I think that's a good thing. Whoa! No camp cupcake here, woo! Nathan.
No.
Nathan Zagura on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ask him, Tone. Ask him.
All right. Did you even really care all that much about the Aaron Rodgers news? Do you think he is going to help them in a big way, or will it just be another Steelers season? 500, little above, maybe go to the playoffs.
It doesn't surprise me that he's there. It does surprise me that he was like, yeah, I'm just going to come in for the mini camp. Like, you're a quarterback. If you're trying to take over a franchise and a new franchise and a new offense, and now they're praising, you know, Arthur Smith, and he's going to be flexible and mold his offense to kind of some of what Rodgers wants, which is not what we've heard about Arthur Smith's offense, and certainly not in Atlanta or Tennessee before that. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It's just it's an odd situation. Is he still a talented thrower of the football? No doubt. But is this the Aaron Rodgers that is likely to be an MVP? Also, I would say not. He comes with a lot of distractions. The only thing I don't like, Ken, and I'm sure you guys don't like this either, but Pody is going full reverse jinx on it, which is I'm not enjoying that part of it at all. But I don't think it changes. I think the Steelers coming into the season, even if they had Mason Rudolph, were probably preseason by the pundits third in the AFC North.
Yeah.
I think with Aaron Rodgers, guess what? They're still third in the AFC North, right?
I wish I could tell you different, but I think they are. I actually think it could blow up. I really do. I don't think that he's. I think it's more likely that it blows up. I don't think he's really interested in playing anymore, but I don't think he wants to retire. I think he's just playing to play. I don't think he's interested in being a teammate and doing everything that needs to be done as a leader in a locker room. NFL anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what you said about the offense with Arthur Smith, I think it knocked it out of the park. Like somebody said, oh, they'll be run heavy. I go, will they? Like Aaron Rodgers is just going to turn around and hand the ball off? He's never been that guy. And I don't think at this point in his career he ever wants to be that guy. So I think they have major questions to answer. But I will tell you this, though. As of right now, the way I see it, Nathan, you probably see it differently. You're there every single day, all right? So I got to see it from 30,000 feet and from Berea. So help me on this. The Steelers have a 41-year-old quarterback who'll turn 42 during the season. The Browns have a 40-year-old quarterback right now. Both teams are probably looking at quarterbacks as we sit on June 6th, are probably looking at quarterbacks in the 2026 draft. If they really have a flame out here, like I don't think the Browns are going to win two games. I don't know if they're going to win 10 games, though. We got to figure it out here, and they might be in a prime position to take their QB.
Talking about the Steelers?
Yes, and I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, that would be an epic flame out. And that's the thing that's been kind of so interesting about Tomlin is that no matter what's gone on, they haven't had a losing season. Mason Rudolph did play pretty well for them the last time he was there. You kind of got the sense they were waiting for Rodgers. They could. Look, he comes with so much now. And even last year when he was healthy and played at times relatively well for the Jets, it didn't work for them. So I don't think there's any way you can have expectations that this thing is going to be a rocket ship, you know, that, oh, now they've got, this isn't, you know, 2016. This isn't even 2019, 2020 Aaron Rodgers. So it will be a fascinating thing to watch because it is strong personalities. Now, you know, we had heard from at some times that perhaps maybe TJ Watt was on the move, and now they're saying, you know, he's going to sign a deal that's bigger than Myles Garrett's. It sounds like they're a team that's operating in a way, if that does happen, right, that is not in a flame out way or not, certainly not in any kind of a tanking way, but a team that thinks that they want to get in the playoffs and try to win some games. It's always a tough place to play. You know that. Pittsburgh is a tough place to play. But, yeah, I think this has definite flame out potential. And Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers are two very passionate, I don't know if stubborn is the right word, but hard-headed individuals.
Yeah.
Watching that merger, I think, is going to be fascinating. Just based on the things that we've heard trickle out from times in Tennessee and certainly from down in Atlanta, that to me is going to be one of the most interesting dynamics in the whole thing. Like Arthur Smith last year, if you remember, the Steelers weren't they 5-1 with Justin Fields? 4-1 maybe? Maybe
started
5 games with 4-1?
Yes.
And Arthur Smith could not stand him at quarterback, and they were winning games. So it's one of those things. It's like, what's more important here? And I think that's going to be a fascinating dynamic between those two.
Nathan, thank you very much for the time. Good luck with everything on Monday. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it. Love you guys. Just one last thing, because I want to just get your guys' take on this. And I'm sure you've talked about it already, is what Halliburton is doing. One of the most insane clutch performances in an entire play. I mean, they are rewriting the history books every single round. It's kind of stunning. Like, what do you guys think about what we're seeing? That he gets the ball there. Everybody knows he's shooting it. And he hits another game winner to steal game one on the road in a manner in which no team has ever won in the NBA Finals before.
I said at the beginning of the show today, I think he has the potential, if he were able to finish this off and actually beat this Oklahoma City Thunder team, it's only game one for crying out loud, but with what he's done throughout the playoffs, I think that right now the league is at a crossroads of who the next face of the league is. I think he can vie for the face of the NBA.
Yeah, Nathan, it's just weird to see a guy that has trouble really putting up a ton of points, not really his game, does like to get other guys involved, and then has four of the biggest shots of the playoffs and comes through at the biggest moments. It's insanity.
It's insanity. I was just seeing one of those advanced stats where they took like the best clutch performances in an entire playoff run, and he is so far as an outlier above anything that we've ever seen in NBA history before. Mm-hmm. It's staggering. I mean, they're demoralizing. I do think it was wild that he didn't get Eastern Conference Finals MVP, that they gave it to Siakam, mm-hmm. and he was totally ready to stand up and accept it, and not so fast. So maybe he's like, I'm going to get the Finals MVP. But like your point, long way to go. It just is weird, though. Their back-breaking comebacks have had a way of having much more of an impact than one game. So we'll see if they can keep that going against the Thunder, because I think the Thunder are the better team, although the Pacers are a great basketball team. Mm-hmm. But the Thunder are just more talented, I think.
Nathan, thank you very much, friend. All the best.
You got it, guys.
Outstanding. Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
The Browns trying to figure out their quarterback. We have a Browns legend on here in just 1 second to talk about the state of the Browns and Rodgers signing in Pittsburgh. And the National High School Football Hall of Fame weekend is coming up in Canton, Ohio. I don't know why I said Canton, Ohio. You know where Canton is. At the Zimmerman Symphony Center, June 13th through the 15th. It's the third annual Hall of Fame induction ceremony to honor those who helped foster the legacy of high school football. For more information, tickets, and a list of inductees, those are all available at NHSFootballHOF.com. Eric Metcalf, Browns legend, now joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, how you doing? Very, very good. Always great to have you. Aaron Rodgers to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I immediately said they're winning the division. What's your thought on the impact of Aaron Rodgers going to Pittsburgh?
I've been talking to all kind of people about it before it ever happened, and I was like, I hate to say it, but he could really help them, because I feel like he has enough talent and skill. We know he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, that all they needed was somebody to stabilize that position. And with him in there, they'll protect him, they'll run the football, and they'll play good defense, so they'll always have a chance to win, which we've seen over the course of Mike Tomlin's career.
How much you think their offense will change? Typically, you know, they run the ball an awful ton, and they kind of limit what the passers do. But with Aaron Rodgers, you obviously don't want to do that.
I don't think you want to do it, but I think that's just who they are, and that's what they will do. I mean, of course he'll be Aaron Rodgers, and he'll have to make some plays. But I think it bodes well for him to run the ball more, because now he doesn't have to stand back there and take the chance of getting hurt. And so with that, he always brings something special to the table, and there's some things that you can do in your passing game, but I think they stay as a running team that just is able to pass the ball well at times.
All right, Eric, I don't know how to do this. I know we want to get to the Browns talk with you, but last time you were on with us, you let us know you were a Knicks fan, and how you holding up there, fella?
I'm not good, but I'm good. You know, cause I'm not good, but I'm good, because I, for me, as a Knicks fan, and a lot of people may disagree with me, but I wasn't really a Tibbs fan. And so I think now you get a new voice, you get somebody who can maybe take them over, get them over the hump. The one thing I really want to happen as a Knicks fan is make some trades, and I want KD to be a New York Knick. And then, because that's the score that they needed. They need another score besides Brunson. Can't just give Brunson the ball and say, go score. And that's why the Pacers were able to beat them.
Could you find a score that isn't 157 in basketball years?
Hey, can you find a scorer who's only 20 in basketball years who can score better than him?
That's fair. Yeah, that's fine. That's a fair rebuttal.
Okay. Eric, let's get to the Browns here. Who do you think is going to start week one at the quarterback spot?
I think Joe Flacco. I think, you know, he has a familiarity with Stefanski and the offense, and they know what they can and can't do with him. I mean, if it doesn't go well, then I think one of the young guys start. But as of right now, looking at it, I would think, and I would hope, unless somebody just outshines him by a lot in preseason, which I don't see how you get the opportunity to do so, but unless that happens, I think Flacco starts.
So there's another name in the quarterback derby there, Shedeur Sanders. He's the fifth round pick. There comes a lot of hoopla with Shedeur. I'm just curious, like, what's been your read on not just them drafting him, but all the circus that surrounded him throughout the entirety of the draft process?
Well, for me, I think going into it, it was more about his dad than him. You know, I mean, because I think when he was Shedeur's agent, and I don't think people or teams wanted to deal with having to deal with Deion as an agent and a father. I mean, if you're just a father and you talk like Deion and you act like Deion, which he's one of the best to ever do it, then okay, we can accept that because we don't have to negotiate with him. We don't have to listen to him if his client isn't playing. But when Deion is the agent as well, I think I don't think teams really like that, and so that put them in a peculiar situation where they might not have thought he was special enough where we'll still take him. I mean, because if they did, he wouldn't have failed to the fifth round. But now that he's fallen to the fifth round, the Browns got him. I think he's a talented football player who can come in and do good things if given the opportunity.
What do you make of the Browns taking two running backs and their styles between Judkins and Sampson?
Well, I like it. I mean, because it's, you know, we always need a change of pace. When we played, it was K-Mac and myself, or K-Mac and EB when they played, the guys who did things differently. So that gives the offensive staff and play callers an opportunity to do things to diversify the offense with who's in their game. If one guy might be a pounder kind of guy that you run in between the tackles a lot, the other guy might be a guy who catches the ball and can run sweeps a lot. And so that's so when you have a lot of guys who can do multiple things, it bodes well for the team.
Eric, I'm curious. So much of the Browns' messaging this offseason is, hey, we're going to get back to who we used to be. We're going to get back to Kevin Stefanski's offense, the wide zone blocking scheme. We get back to the defense we had 2 years ago. How likely do you think all that is going into this year, trying to replicate what you did 2 years ago?
If I'm Stefanski, it's very likely because that's what got me wins. When we try to change up and do a lot of different things, we didn't win too many games and we weren't in the playoffs. And when you're talking about a coach, not winning will get you fired. And so if that's the best chance that you have of winning games going back to what you were doing, I think that's what you do. And so and that's what I've always said. Do what you do because that's what got you the coaching job. That's what got you the playoffs a couple of times. And that's who the Browns are. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. Be who you are and make people stop it. Just make adjustments to it when people are playing against it pretty good.
What do you make of the idea that the Browns likely aren't bringing back Nick Chubb and it feels like he's going to have to find another team?
You know, that's a tough one. I mean, because Nick, the person, the football player, you have to love him as a guy who showed up to work every day, didn't know hassles, no problems, and just worked and played good football. But then it's the position, the running back, where people think you can just plug somebody in, and he's had a few injuries, and he's getting older. So I understand if he doesn't come back because that's just the way it is.
Eric Metcalf on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's with us on behalf of the 3rd Annual National High School Football Hall of Fame Induction Ceremony. That takes place next weekend, June 14th at 6 p.m. The ceremony honors the outstanding and unsung players and coaches of high school football. It all takes place in Canton. Tickets and a list of inductees available at nhsfootballhof.com. We've talked a lot about the culture with the Cleveland Browns. I think that's synonymous with wins and losses, obviously. But I'm just, can you have a winning culture without winning more than you lose?
It's tough. it's very tough. I think, you know, people know that this franchise and this team and this staff have won there in Cleveland. People know that. And so I think people can come there and believe that there's always an opportunity to win because of what they've done. I mean, it hasn't been consistent, but because you have won games, you feel good about if things go right, you can win. I think they can put it together with this team. I think it's a matter of shoring up the offensive line, making sure guys can stay healthy, which we haven't been able to do for the last few years, and getting the defense to playing like they were a couple years ago. And then you win some games, and that's when people start to believe, and then you get free agents who want to come in, and you start to build something. It's about getting momentum, but our consistency hasn't been there, and that's why you don't look at it as a winning culture.
You played for Bill Belichick. Are you surprised at the amount of attention that is around Bill Belichick and who he dates?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all. I mean, when you talk of Bill's an older guy, he has a young lady. And so, and who he is, he's won a bunch of Super Bowls. So he's in the light. And so people know who he is. So when you see him doing things, especially in this day and age of social media and everything, people are always going to pay attention to what someone else is doing, especially a guy who know like he is. And so I'm not surprised that people pay attention to it. I don't understand why they do, because it's really not their business, but, you know, to each his own.
Could you, when you played for Bill Belichick, have ever seen him date a woman 50 years his younger?
Well, not at that time.
That would be illegal.
That would be wrong.
You're not wrong.
That would be very wrong.
but you know, it's just knowing him like I do, Bill was more fun and funnier than people, than he let out to be on the news and in interviews and everything. So knowing him like I do, it wouldn't surprise me if at the time he was older, this age now, and he was single, that this could happen.
So I guess it's interesting. I think Bill's going to have a lot of success in college. I do. He's just a really bright guy. I think he can adapt. I think they gave him everything he wanted. I'm just curious, like, when you look at that, Bill Belichick having not coached in college in over 50 years, now going back to college as a 73-year-old head coach, like, what do you think is the make or break part of that? What do you think of coach going back to college?
I think for him, it's first and foremost, is how much NIL money the school is going to be able to put it behind it. And then when you get past that part, I think the fact that Bill, Lombardi, and all those guys have been in the NFL where players are trying to get will help them out a lot. They will be able to sell the fact that they know how to get you to the NFL and what it takes to be that player. And so I think they'll do a good job. But once again, it's about, can you keep players? Can you get players with the way NIL and transfer portal is working now?
So obviously you played your college ball at Texas. Browns and Arch Manning, is it a match made in heaven, or you feel like Arch Manning will stay maybe another season after this one and the Browns won't have a shot there?
So you're just assuming the Browns are going to lose.
Well, is that not a fair assumption? Or are we Eric? You got a 9-win team here.
I don't know how many wins they have, but I don't think they'll be in the top 5 picks this year. Okay. I don't think so. I don't. Maybe I'm being a little zealous, but I don't think they'll be a top 5 pick. But Arch Manning, I think he comes out after this year. I mean, I think he's done enough in the little time that he played subbing in for Quinn Ewers that people know that he's an athlete and he can go out there and play the position. Now he gets a year to run the show full time, and they're currently ranked number one in some polls and they're picked to win the national championship. And so if he does that, I think, or even gets them really close. And it's because of him, I think, that he comes out.
All right, Eric, we're taking NBA Finals predictions today. What you got?
Look here. I'm a Knicks fan, so I hate the Pacers. But I'm from Seattle.
Yep.
So I'm supposed to hate OKC also. Because that's our team.
Yep, you're in a bind.
Right, I'm in a bind. And so my Seattle people would not like this, but I think OKC is going to win, and that's who I really would want to win. I'd rather see them win than the Pacers.
As a Knicks fan, do you think Timothée Chalamet is cool, or do you feel like he's overplayed?
I think he's cool. I just think he's cool just because of what he does in the movies and how he acts, especially as Bob Dylan. He's real cool. Right?
That was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it was. Yes, I like that. I like how he acts. Well, I think he's a cool guy. You can go from Bob Dylan, you can be Wonka, you all over. Or you can be in Dune, right?
All right, but all right, here's the problem, Eric. Here's the problem, Eric. Like he grew up in the Bronx. He summered in France. And he acts French. I just feel like we got an identity crisis with our boy Shalamama Ding Dong there.
Hey, I feel like we all have an identity crisis at some point, so it's okay.
I'm about to be 40. That makes sense to me.
If only my identity crisis got me a Jenner.
Right.
Eric, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much. Eric Metcalf there, Browns legend. He was not touching the Jenner thing. He was not doing it. There are two things on Eric Metcalf's no-fly list. It was the Jenner thing, and it was the Jordan Hudson thing.
I thought he answered both. I thought we got it, all we needed and then some.
So Eric joined us on behalf of the National High School Football Hall of Fame Week in Canton, coming up June 13th through the 15th. It's the third annual Hall of Fame induction ceremony. If you want to find more out about that, NHSFootballHOF.com. We'll react to what he had to say. And it's time that we come clean about the abuse of Anthony Lant in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.